Well, howdy doody, everybody. Boy, it's been a long time. It's Kim Braverman Podcast. It's Sunday, November 18th, 2018, 3:36 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're not on the East Coast anymore. We've officially moved to Vegas, everybody. That is the new home for Kim Braverman. And it's nice to get away from our nation's capital. I mean, my goodness, it's really anxious out there right now. But it doesn't mean you get away from the news. And I have a lot of ideas for this podcast, so let's just get going. You know where I am right now? I was sitting, I was at one of those casinos, you know, because everywhere is a casino in Las Vegas. And I was watching a little bit of the football games and doing some work. And I watched Ben Roethlisberger outstretch himself into a touchdown and like fumble and recover it on the end. He's really amazing, that player. I watched him pull like the one game that I won. I had five picks and two other games I had picked at the 1 o'clock Eastern Standard start time. Lost. Carolina lost, and Tennessee just got utterly destroyed. So I was like, yeah, let's get out of here. Let's not focus on football today. Let's do something else. Oh, interesting. There was a red spike there when I did. I'll try not to do it as loud again. Anyway, wow, this is cool. So I have a new recording app. It was the editor's choice, one of these voice recording apps. And I thought, which one do I choose? There's a million here when I'm downloading. I had not recorded a podcast on this phone yet. I've had this phone for over a month. How sad is that, that we haven't podded? So, but yeah, I picked the editor's choice because that kind of made the most sense, right? Somebody who really uses this decided that it was great. We didn't have to deal with an ad. And I think that that's a good segue into talking about what we all need to do when it comes to thinking about things that are important in the world right now. Get ready for an extremely destabilizing time for the next several months, if not years. If you have been hiding under a rock, I didn't tell you guys where I am. I'll tell you later toward the end. If you've been hiding under a rock and you didn't know that we had an election a few weeks ago, and the results of that election happened to be a bit heartwarming, not all around, but in general, something that I've always thought rang true, which is people are generally good. People are generally good. People want to help others. People are generally empathetic. And when called to action, they will do the right thing. And what do I mean? Like, what happened? Well, we have a political map that has been, you know, the gerrymandered is a term here. Voter suppression is another term that you will hear. There were a lot of factors working against truth, working against reality. Those in power, some of those in power that are defrauding our country and defrauding the world, as will be named in coming indictments very soon, there are those in power that don't exercise that feeling of empathy. It does not manifest itself in their actions because they can not only think of themselves, but they're number one. And in a way, I think all of us have that, where we believe that we're number one, that fight for self-preservation tends to be the defining factor. Some can say that you'll put your children, loved ones ahead of yourself. You know, if there's an oncoming bus and one of you has to go, you'll push your kid out of the way and you'll take, you know, you'll get run over. And I can see that, but it doesn't apply to, especially it doesn't apply to people that you don't know. For most folks, right? Would you get run over by a bus for 23 kids in Yemen, you know, if that was the trade-off? And I think a lot of us only would really be lying to ourselves if we said that we would, because it doesn't internalize with us, and we just really can't understand or we don't feel the suffering of others, right? I mean, like, think about, when was the last time the Nobel Prize came out of Yemen, right? And the answer is, I don't think it ever has. I don't know, but I'm just guessing. And the reason why I can guess and be pretty confident that I'm correct and that there are hardly any, if any, Nobel Prizes that came out of Yemen is not that the people of Yemen are not capable, but that they don't have, like, their starting point is so far behind the rest of us because water, food, education, safety, staples of society don't exist right now there. They're getting bombed by Saudi Arabia on a daily basis and others. If we had to live like that and our metropolitan cities were being bombed and starved of clean water, which some of them are, like Flint, Michigan, or being starved of basic staples of life, then we wouldn't have the time to grow and to give ourselves a leg up. And that's how I choose to look at that situation. I don't believe that people are bad. I don't believe that people are incapable. I believe that we all have good in us. Even those that are evil oftentimes have good in us. It's human nature to generally be good. If we couldn't work with each other, if we were all psychopaths that slit each other's throat if anything happened, well, what kind of society would we have created? I mean, I'm sure that there were some genetic traits exhibited by hostile humans in the past, where, you know, they were all about fighting and all about killing and just winning. And that didn't play out well long term, because eventually more of us that were alive and were surviving realized that we could work together to overcome those that were independently trying to destroy us. Now, it doesn't mean things like Genghis Khan didn't happen, right? I mean, that guy took over a huge chunk of Asia because he was so efficient and strong. But he didn't win in the long run. He eventually died of alcoholism. He just drank himself to death, right? Because everyone has faults. Now, how does this translate to current day? You know, if you can't already see the analogy, well, in this amazing election that just happened, where odds were not stacked in the favor of truth, and they didn't win everywhere. You know, Georgia, you have a fraudulent election, essentially. Kemp is installed as the governor of Georgia, and he stole this election by preventing Americans from voting and counting their votes. Disproportionately on a racial basis, something that I'm disgusted by, and most Americans actually are disgusted by. However, we have faults as Americans. And just like I was mentioning before, would you allow yourself to be run over by a bus if you knew 23 kids in Yemen would survive? Don't lie to yourself. You probably wouldn't. I wouldn't, even though I should. If those 23 kids were mine and they were standing right next to me, I absolutely would, right? What's the problem? Am I a bad person? No, it's that it's a fault of the human condition. Like, we have problems associating and empathizing with those that are literally not right next to us. It's exhibiting itself in the way that our social media works. Hey, you know what I did? I deleted my Facebook account. I deleted my Facebook account about 27 days ago. I think that's about how long it was. And Facebook, I know they're lying to you on some level, but Facebook says that after 30 days, they give you a 30-day period. I call it the Facebook period. I thought it was funny. You're on your Facebook period. It's like the lunar cycle. They give you 30 days, and after 30 days, they said, we're going to start permanently deleting your account, which means everything you ever did supposedly will be not accessible again, and you won't be able to go in and change your mind and re-release everything. And I thought about this in depth. I actually let that screen up. You know, I let that checkbox on the screen open for longer than normal as I thought about that. I thought about every single thing I've done on here, all these things I posted on people's walls, pictures of hockey games from years ago. Do I want to delete all of those memories and take those away from others as well as myself? And I came to the conclusion that the answer is yes. Because even though I know that that stuff's not really, really, really gone, that's number one. But number two was, well, why? Why am I doing this? And the answer is because I wanted to send a signal of rejection to the system of what social media, at least Facebook, currently is. It is a place where we are, we're kind of, we're feeding or we're hyping up, I'll tell you where I am eventually, we're feeding or we're hyping up a lot of our worst primitive emotions, like, you know, don't you want to kind of like find out what's going on in a former girlfriend's life and who she's dating? Don't you want to see, you know, if you're a parent, don't you want to see what your kid's up to without them knowing? You know, people want to dig into other people's lives and do it from a perch without letting others know. I mean, think about who knows who you're spying on. Mark Zuckerberg knows. Your ISP knows. Amazon Web Services probably knows. The place where the data center is that houses all those transactions probably knows. The Irish government knows. Irish government, Kenny? What the hell does the Irish government know? Oh, yeah, because your data went through a data center that's in Ireland because they don't pay taxes there. So Ireland knows. People who put spyware on your computer know. Right? They know what you're doing, but maybe the recipient or the person who's being spied on doesn't even know. Right? It feeds all these negative personality traits that we have. And on top of that, we are limited to how well we communicate on this platform. So it's kind of like, I like making random posts and random jokes that don't always come across, and people think that I am legitimately crazy and have lost my freaking mind. And I laugh it off, saying things like, yeah, dude, it's just a Facebook persona. Like, you need to meet me in person to realize that I'm exactly the same person that you remember when we used to hang out in person. But it doesn't really work. People form these opinions. And I learned a real lesson about image and how your own image is not really in your control. And others can defame you, and others can, there's really nothing you can do. You can't alter other people's opinions by simply being authentic and being genuine in person. It does not always work. So, for all those reasons, and also the fact that it's a platform that's being manipulated by evildoers, I said no, and it's going to be a few more days, and Facebook will be gone permanently with an asterisk, because I know it's not really permanent if somebody wants to get a hold of that, but it's going to be gone from my life. And another thing is that all successful people that I know don't use Facebook, don't use it at all. And so I kind of wanted to understand why, and I think I do know now, because it forces you to get out and really see people instead of using it as a method to communicate. So that's gone. Now, there's a lot going on in this podcast, and I'm going to go well past 17 minutes of normal because I have a million things to talk about, and it's been a long time. And we're at Echo Bay, by the way. I think it's Nevada. I never know if I'm in Arizona, Nevada, or Utah. We're at Echo Bay. It's just gorgeous. Yeah, I snuck out away from those football games and came out here to record a pod and do some work. Just love sitting out on the tablet with no Wi-Fi in sight, enjoying the day. It's gorgeous. So, Echo Bay, right? Yeah, Echo. Wish you could be here. You kind of are. Think about it that way. So, Facebook gone. I think everyone should delete Facebook. I kind of wanted to do a podcast before the election and tell everyone, if you want to repudiate what is going on right now, you should delete your Facebook account. I know Jim Carrey was pushing it, and I see why. It would have been nice if there was just a mass, like, 100 million Facebook accounts deleted right before the election and people saying, we can't stand this anymore. We can't stand what our current administration is doing, what the criminal in office is doing, right? But whatever, the election came and went, and even with all of the advantages that were stacked in the favor of the party in power, Congress, governorships, presidency, apparently a 5-4 lead on the Supreme Court, even though I thought justices were supposed to be impartial, right? You got a justice who got confirmed who said that the Clintons are trying to get him back or something. Like, what on earth, right? Just dog whistles everywhere sending out that it's a fraudulent justice. I believe he will be impeached. I believe Kavanaugh will be impeached, and we will remove him from the Supreme Court. Because what we need to do right now is deal with the fault of the human condition, which is we can only handle so much, and we are drowning, literally drowning. I'm sitting here in the desert right now, but we are drowning in information. And just like water, water's great. We need it to live. We need our cells to respirate. We need good old dihydrogen monoxide, H2O. Dihydrogen monoxide. I always love it when people call it that. There's a good joke about that. Anyway, we need water, right? What does too much water do? Too much water drowns you. Every year, just about, some kid at some frat party or some team hazing event has to go through one of these stupid games where kids make other kids drink as much water or whatever fluid they can to see how much they can hold down, and their body ends up diluting and you essentially drown yourself by drinking yourself to death. This happened once when a radio show did this contest and the pregnant woman did it and then she ended up dying and they got sued and they got off the air, as they should. Do some research, folks. Too much water will kill you. So we're drowning not in water. We wish we had more water to fight the wildfires. But we're drowning in information. So much so that it's difficult for many of us, all of us, to pick out what's relevant, what's important, what's fake, what's propaganda, right? This is really the source of the problem. And it was comforting to see that even with things structured the way they were, and an entire news network, I shouldn't say entire, there are people like, I'm talking about Fox News, there are people like Shep Smith, I haven't heard much from Brent Baer, but I know Shepard Smith is trying to do a reasonable job and has some integrity. But the majority of that network is a propaganda machine, and that comes from a few wealthy people and foreign governments. And I don't know why they're allowed to operate under the auspices of being an objective news agency, because they are clearly not. I'm not going to talk about Fox News because they're a waste of time. But point is they're a symptom of the problem that any information can get out and we can reach folks, right? So it's difficult for us to delineate between what's true, what's false. And everyone can be subject to this. You don't even realize it. You know, it's stuff that just pops into your ears and you just don't do your, you know, predetermined test. Is this legitimate or not? It just seeps in, you know, osmosis. It just happens, right? So even with all that going on, the criminal party in power, which is the Trump party, calling themselves Republicans because the Republican name used to mean something and still does to some people. That party still really got walloped and lost 35 plus House seats, lost control of the House of Representatives, maintained the Senate, probably in many ways due to this type of voter suppression. You know, that's what happens in Florida, other different states. All these things happen, right? So it ends up being a case where we have at least reasonable people that do not want to experience criminal or allow the criminal behavior from the executive branch and from a contingent of the Republican Party. They don't want to allow that to continue, and we're able to get some sane folks who care about reason and reality in power in the House, right? That's awesome. It's comforting. It's comforting to know that with all the gerrymandering and everything, there's still so many more people than 50% that came out to say no to fraud, to say we will not continue to be defrauded by what is happening. So that's really what it is. We are all being defrauded. We all shall all be upset. And there's the group of folks who are not necessarily bad people. I'm living with one of them right now. and she's not a bad person. People are not bad people. I know many Trump supporters that are not bad people and are good friends. They just don't see the totality of what's going on. And I, of course, am seeing a subjective look myself. So even I don't know the totality of what's going on. None of us do, but certain of us who tend to focus on these issues a lot do see the amount of reality that does permeate. Now, reality, the fight about reality. That's where we're at. What is truth? Will truth prevail? And the answer is it did on election day this year. People said no, even though the Republicans tried to steal the election in many places. They still got walloped. They cheated and lost. What does that mean? That means America is on the rebound. That's what it means. If there's one thing Trump does, it's get people motivated to fight back because he's defrauding all of us and lying to our face repeatedly. So why are many of my podcasts hell-bent on being political? Because if we don't react, we're going to lose all of our rights. That's what dictators do. They take your rights away. They take people like Jamal Khashoggi and they freaking dismember him in their consulate in Turkey. That's what dictators do. We obviously don't want to have that in America. And nobody would ever think a few years ago that that would even have been possible. But don't underestimate the liar in chief. He's going to do everything he can for self-preservation. We, the American people, are those 23 kids in Yemen that he doesn't give a shit about. And I think a lot of us are realizing this. And that's why you have a big, huge win for America on Election Day. Now, the problem is, it's certainly not over. It's just getting started right now. Because now you have a body in Congress that's not going to be complicit with the crimes and is going to try to remedy them. Yet you still have a Senate where many of the senators will continue to be complicit in the crimes because many of them are also criminally liable. Do you think, when you actually see the data, when you know that the president has all these loans with the Russian government and other foreign nations, when you know, when you are aware that he is lying all the time, and you don't stand up to it, eventually you become complicit and a co-conspirator in the conspiracy to defraud the United States, which is a treasonous offense. That's really what it is. So when you look at somebody like Mitch McConnell, who can probably be implicated now in whatever you want to call Russia collusion, Because he's aware of the information and he's not only doing nothing, but he's supporting the efforts to quash the investigation by not holding votes on things like protecting law and order, right? Just craziness. And it's not just donors. It's not just donors giving him money. It's also probably the fact that his life or the life of his family has been threatened by Vladimir Putin. Like, there's other underlying things that cause a lot of these Republicans not to act on behalf of sanity, on behalf of their country, which is America, because they're not beholden to their country. They're also acting in self-preservation mode. So point is we have two conflicting houses right now. We've got our two conflicting bodies of Congress. We've got a house that, you know, should do things like take Devin Nunes, the former head of the House Judiciary Committee, and arrest him for conspiracy to defraud the United States and obstruction of justice, because that's what he was committing for the last 2 years. And we need to arrest these people. Just lock them up, lock them up, lock them up. Are there going to be problems with this? Yes. Yes, there are going to be problems with this, because we still have a president who's an acting agent of a foreign government and also at the same time only cares about himself. So he's starting to see, because he installed Matt Whitaker as the head of the Justice Department, as Attorney General, essentially. They brought him in, and right now what's going on is Whitaker's getting all the information he can about the special counsel's investigation, because he's entitled to see it now as he's supposedly overseeing it, even though his appointment is unconstitutional, even though he's not qualified, even though he's also a fraudster. He was running a company that was trying to sell time travel. I mean, come on. Like, his company got fined by the FTC, like, tens of millions of dollars. Like, it's a joke, right? It is a joke. Well, it's a joke for those of us who care about reality. It's not a joke for those who are trying to protect themselves from being incarcerated or essentially hung for treason, which is what the president could be faced with. He probably won't be hung for treason, because that's a step too far even for somebody like me who wants to see him incarcerated immediately. But, I mean, he knows his family, everything, right? It's all going down, the business, everything. Like, you used to be on top of the world as president. You're going to find yourself in prison unless you can find a way to get out of it. So he's going to bash his tail like a whale out of water until he crushes everyone over either trying to help him and put him back in the water or put him in a net. You know, like, I mean, Moby Dick, is that whole boat is going to be turned over. We should all expect that. I also think we should take care of it immediately. I don't think we should allow him to continue to flop around indefinitely, because he's just going to cause more collateral damage. I've been saying that for, God, I don't know, was it like at least 18 months or more? Been a long time. It looks like there are going to be sealed indictments released. Looks like all this stuff's kind of going to come to a head, and it's going to be a huge, big fight. And also, you also have the foreign governments that are going to take advantage of the uncertainty here and take advantage of the fact that we are weakened by having a leader who's not acting on behalf of the country. So you kind of have to ask yourself things like, all right, you know, we have this wildfire situation. There's a potential or a chance that it was Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, that had some type of fuse breakout that causes fire. That's all speculation at this point. I don't have any hard evidence. But here's what can happen. Let me tell you what can happen. Because the Russians have hacked our infrastructure and our grids, if they want to start fires in paradise, which is why, this is why I was really suspect of what's going on, you know, they wiped the entire town of Paradise off the map, and it's in an area of country that's heavily liberal in Northern California. It just sounded just too storytelly to me, and I was like, if I'm the Russian government and I want to see, test out whether or not I can really take over the grid and start massive mayhem, if I have to attack the United States because the fake president that I've installed there is about to get arrested, how would I do it? Let's test it out. I just worry that, you know, I want it looked into more. Don't quote me on that. I don't have evidence of that. I'm just speculating. But it's just a little bit too, you know, it's just a little too weird for me. And the underlying logic is sound, which is the Russians have hacked our grids, and potentially can alter things and create devastating effects. And if we don't have leadership that's on our side, imagine how much worse it's going to be, which is why I want him out immediately. And I have a whole, God, it's a whole nother pod at this point, about how we do this and why he's on, why we see his face everywhere and how to stop that and what we need to do to replace that. Maybe I'll just break this podcast up into two. We're 30 minutes in. It's going to be a huge file. I know it's in my head right now, so I'm just going to keep going. So we can change the state we're in. We can avoid this drowning, or we can remedy, or we can treat this overflow of information that we are having to somewhat ignore, distort, or rationalize in our head, all the stuff that comes in from every direction. We can do some things to prop all of us up. And it's actually quite easy now. This is 2018, and we don't really see it or realize it, but the standard of living, the advancements in technology, the ability for all of us to live like kings in many ways has already been we're already there. We don't feel it. We don't feel it because it takes us time to understand what's fully available. And also our brains are just not capable of really being able to, our brains are not capable of handling everything that's available. We need robots to do it for us, and we also need to fix the way we deal with money. Money is becoming the root of all evil if it wasn't already. And instead of allowing money to destroy us and make us do things that we don't want to do because we're on a hunt for money, we need to understand that money is just a state of mind. Money is just a tool. Everyone who knows me personally knows that I don't give a shit about money. I do not care. I never will. Nobody would argue with you. They would all tell you, yeah, he does not care about money. That's true. I always find a way to pay for everything. I never have it, yet I always seem to be doing whatever I want. And the reason is that I don't care about money. I just look at it as a tool and I find ways to get it when I need it. And that's about it. Now, that's not a way that most people can live. I understand. Most people need to be responsible and have money in the bank. I don't view it that way because I know that it can all just disappear immediately. The dollar can deflate immediately. You want to know all the money that you have in the bank? I mean, I don't want to scare everyone, but also I'm going to provide a solution at the end, so allow me to scare you for now. All the money that you've earned, everything that you put in the bank, even your real estate, like all these hard assets, do you know what can just completely take all of that away? Assuming that we're all still alive and everything. How about this? How about if all of a sudden there is a plague, somebody manufactures an airborne virus that's highly potent and highly deadly and releases it into the water supply and into the air in your town, in your city? What would happen if that happened? Imagine the common cold was deadly. And just somebody sneezing on you, we wouldn't really be able to stop it, for at least for a while, until we figured out how to stop it. What would happen? Okay, just imagine. Imagine if going to the grocery store could kill you. Would you go to the grocery store? Would you leave the house? Would you send your kids to school? Nope. I wouldn't. I would wait it out. I'd sit at home and wait it out. go off the canned goods you had in the cupboard, right? Wouldn't all of us, wouldn't all those netty people who have their nuclear bunkers, wouldn't they all just go hide there and eat Denny Moore beef stew for the next 20 years? I think that's what we would probably want to try to do, because we would be in fear that leaving the house would kill us. And almost all economic transactions would stop and would cease. And our perception of what money meant would turn to basically nothing. Because money isn't going to solve your problems at that point. Maybe it could move you to a different town. But what about when that airborne virus ends up reaching that town? Then where are you going to go? Are you going to fly to Mars? Maybe there'll be enough money to get you to Mars eventually. But not yet. Elon Musk hasn't finalized that rocket yet. We don't have the colony on Mars yet. And there are things that can destabilize. Well, global warming is a more realistic example, right? Your whole town could burn down. Then what are you going to do? Right? And it's scary to think of life that way. But when you realize that there are these destabilizing factors, maybe you haven't experienced them in your life yet, but they're all a possibility, that money is just a tool. It's just a thought. It's just what we believe and perceive it to be, and it's going to oscillate back and forth, and it's going to change back and forth. And what really is of value is our belief system, our belief that when we wake up tomorrow, that McDonald's is going to be open, and that I'm going to be able to get a quarter pound, or no, actually a McGriddle, and some hash browns, and those hash browns are not going to be laced with arsenic, that I'm going to be able to eat that, get some calories, and go and be on my day and have some coffee, right? The belief that we trust folks, that McDonald's isn't defrauding us. Ironically, our president loves McDonald's. McDonald's does not defraud you. McDonald's has to come out and release the information about what's in their food and how many calories and what they put in it, preservatives and everything, because they would get sued out of existence if they didn't, and they wouldn't be able to be a company. In our president's America, he himself wants to be able to lie to you because he's himself. And that's what really meaning being above the law is really about. And why it's unacceptable for us to allow what's happening. Now, let me get back to how we solve these problems and what we're actually going to do. So I have a domain. I have a domain I bought last year, I believe. It's called Iabit. AIABIT.com. And it stands for American Investment Act. And then bits. Whatever. I like the bit. Iabit. And what it is it's my idea of a cryptocurrency. And the reason why I bought that domain, and I'm going to propose legislation in Congress. How am I going to do that? You let me worry about that. But I will. I will be proposing legislation to create the American Investment Act. And the American Investment Act is going to be our desire as Americans, and really as members of the global community, to accept that money is a tool, and we should use it like a tool instead of fighting over it. Instead of creating a situation where those who probably have a pathological disorder about winning, about having more than thy neighbor, about having validation issues in their own life where they have to feel the need to defraud and steal from others so that they can hide away and hoard their money. That's what the problem is. Those people destroy it for the rest of us. Money would be just fine if those people didn't exist, right? Think about it. Would there be a problem with, well, I won't make any more analogies to it, but it's just that simple, right? Why does Trump screw other people all the time? Because he wants more. Because he wants to win. Because in reality, he feels like a loser. Because he's had so many repetitive failures. Because his father gave him $400 million and he ended up filing for bankruptcy 6 times afterward. Because he knows it deep down on the inside, but has to project something different, right? That's why he's such a terrible person to be president. He can't help anybody else because he can't even help himself. So what we all need to do is work on My American Investment Act. Let's come up with our own closed system cryptocurrency, or just value, something backed by the American dollar. We've decided that we agree that we can continue to borrow as much as we want. The Treasury is get, or the Federal Reserve continue to write blank checks to the Treasury, and we're going to continue to sell those out to other countries who are apparently going to continue to buy them because they pay interest. We've agreed that it does not matter what that number is. That number is somewhere in the trillions right now. It's like $19 trillion or something. Do you know how much $19 trillion is? Are there 19 trillion grains of sand in the desert where I am right now? I don't think there are. $19 trillion does not exist. That's not billion. That's trillion. That's a million. I don't even know. Our brains have run out of zeros. That's what 19 trillion is. Running a deficit of like $1 trillion. Billions are ridiculous. Billions are ridiculous numbers. Trillions are ridiculous times 1,000. Right? But here's the beauty of all that. We don't care as people. We, as humans, we just lump everything together as that's a number bigger than I can comprehend. So I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let it fly. I'm going to be like, all right, what's the deficit? 500 million? 500 billion? A trillion? Oh, well. Well, let's write that check. That's how it works now, right? So that's fine, though. That's okay. It's actually good that way. Because what is that $19 trillion, really? What is this debt? What is this deficit? It's a way of us quantifying what we feel the reliability factor is of our nation and of the sun rising in the morning and setting at night and McDonald's having a quarter pounder available to you that won't poison you. That's really what that $19 trillion is. It's saying that we're all going to continue to operate sane in a reasonable, rational way. So what are the threats to that? And how can we take advantage of the fact that we want to believe that? And we do. We really don't want another depression. People don't want to stop spending money. People like consuming. What can we do to guarantee that? Well, we need to provide human beings, because we still value human beings more than dirt. We value human beings more than lizards. We value human beings more than dogs, but not much. We value dogs greatly. We value these biological human beings as better than just non-biological matter, right? Molecules that don't do much other than radiate a little bit of electromagnetic waves once in a while. We value people, and we provide people with rights, support, and all these other things. Why don't we provide people with the basic staples of life so that the 23 kids in Yemen can eat, can get a smartphone, can have housing where they're not infested with disease? Why can't we do that now? The answer is we can. We can do that now. It causes us to think outside of ourselves, but the value is there. There's $19 trillion there. What's $19 trillion divided by 7 billion? What is that? Let me think about that a second. That's like 190,000 divided by 7, I think. I don't know. There's a lot of money there. Point is, it doesn't really matter. We are creating a world where we can build houses inexpensively. We can purify water inexpensively. We can send information inexpensively. And it's only getting better and better and better. We just need the right leadership. We need a leader that wants to make the world a place that we all want to live in, that has identified the faults that we exhibit as human beings and come up with some safety measures, some defense mechanisms to prevent us from harming ourselves. To condense down this waterfall of information to a glass of spring water that we can ingest safely and provide us with the minerals and the hydration that we need. It can be done, and I'm not going to stop until it is done. So as for right now, we can be comforted to know that there are much more healthy, good people, at least in this country, than there are evildoers, than there are detractors, than there are ignorant folks. There are much more good folks than there even are ignorant folks. That's what the selection told us. Because I just told you, the Trump supporters are not bad people. Not all of them. Many of them are good folks that just don't. That they see different things. It's a fault of all of us. And they're not going to go and defend him to the tilt. Like, there are going to be some nut jobs that try to be violent, like the guy that that crafted all those pipe bombs that didn't explode because he's a freaking idiot. That's the other thing. You have to be really stupid to believe all this nonsense and act upon it. There are those of us that can hear the propaganda and just form some views but not really be active. And then there's like the militant whack jobs. You have to be really, really retarded to go out and send bombs to like George Soros. Like, you are a moron. Now, that's why the bombs didn't go off. It's one of the reasons. Didn't do it right. But even the stupid can be harmful. So we just have to change the rhetoric. We have to change the way that we communicate, and we have to get leadership that we trust. Reality should matter. And it does. In the long run, it does. But we can't discount the fact that allowing the driver of this bus to be a drunk liar and to watch him drive this bus toward the edge of a cliff. Like, what was the movie with Brad Pitt and the two ladies? It's been a long time. It's a movie that made Brad Pitt a star. I was going to say Driving Miss Daisy. No, that's Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy. Oh, come on. Why do these things escape your memory? I haven't thought about it almost came back to me. I'm like staring at a cliff over here at Echo Bay. That's why it came to mind. I don't want to have to look this up while I'm recording. You'll remember what it is. The two ladies that drove their car off the edge of the cliff at the end of the movie. God, I hope I remember before the end of the podcast. To sit and watch our president do that and to do nothing because we trust our dear leader because he is just our president and he accidentally won a fraudulent election, apparently. It's not doing us all justice. It's making things worse. And it's so important to have a driver of that bus who's unlike that driver in upstate New York that killed like 15 people or whatever, right? With a vehicle that wasn't certified and the guy probably wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. It's so important to have proper leadership, to have a driver of this bus be someone that we trust who lives in reality. And what you do now to people who don't want to accept the reality of what's going on is you just say, hey, he's a liar. We know it. I'm sorry, but I'm just not listening to you. Like, are you a Trumpist or are you a Republican? Do you care about reality or do you only care about Trump? Because I just told you reality and you are continuing to basically disgrace me by not accepting what is obviously true. So if that's the way you're going to be, then I'm just not going to listen to you when it comes to questions about reality where your opinion is clearly biased. And I think we just tell them that nobody agrees with them. That no, nobody agrees with you anymore. See what happened? Like, everybody voted against him. Everybody who cared voted against him. And changed the balance of the House by like 35 people. Do you know how hard that is to do when things are already stacked against you because the other side's already cheating? We overcame cheaters and still won. So, of course, the majority of people are good and the majority of people care about reality and don't want to be defrauded. So just remember that if you ever get down, that if things were flipped, we all would not be able to exist in this world. We would be killing each other like macaques at the in you know, Madagascar. It would not be the way it is. So just remember that. And we'll get through this. It's going to be super destabilizing for a while. But, hey, let's fight it out. And let's win. So Ken Braverman's out from Echo Bay.